Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, best in the business since 1974. Getting to see all the fun stuff for their 50th. It's been a lot of fun. Hit them up for your web store needs, but, you know, of course, you don't come to hear me go on and on about them. You want the coaches, and tonight we've got Steve Ryan. Coach, how's it going this evening?
It's going well. Just kind of got through recruiting season, right? And there's just kind of a little law here where, you know, as coaches, you just got to have to plan your time and be productive with it and get prepared for the next season.
You get to breathe a little bit. You know, it's right before spring, right after that real recruiting burst, and you're just like, this is what my family looks like again. Cool.
a little bit, yeah. Yeah, you kind of get that breather. And yeah, I think it's one of the great things about NAI football is it's one of the, you know, might be the only level left that really provides that. So it really is good.
So let's look back at the year that was for Morningside. Unfortunately, it's not quite your usual standard, but you know, it's for about 90 other teams in the nation, they'd probably take it. You start out with a big out of conference win. You play week zero at number 7 Benedictine in a rematch of that 2018 national championship game. Talk to us about playing over a Benny to start the season and that fun out of conference matchup.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great game, and, you know, we're going to play them again this year. It's an outstanding team. I would have to say I'm surprised, you know, not to see them in the playoffs, and it could have been the best defense we saw last year. So it's an outstanding football team. They played, you know, very well. I thought it kind of got us out of the gate good. You know, it was a game that came down to the last play, and I think it gave us a lot of confidence going forward and allowed us to make a quick jump going early on.
You then enter into your GPAC schedule, and all's well until late October, early November. You lose a game at Northwestern, and then maybe you let one loss turn into two against Dort. Dort gets you there at the end of that game. Talk to me a little bit about getting things turned around after Dort and having to deal with a little bit of a historical run that you don't want to make.
Yeah, I mean, we hadn't lost a conference game since 2014. So obviously, you know, that was you know, kind of a change up for us. Both Northwestern and Dort are outstanding football teams, but, you know, the second half of Northwestern and the first half of Dort, you know, we were outplayed significantly. And so for those two halves, we didn't play well. And so found ourselves with two losses and also playing on the road against a very good Indiana Wesleyan team. So, I thought we played well against Indiana Wesleyan, except for the turnovers we made. And you know, so we've got some things we've got to work through there.
I was reviewing your schedule last year when I was reminded a little bit of a quote from Star Wars with that Indiana Wesleyan game when Darth Vader faces off in Episode 4 against Obi-Wan Kenobi. He said, "When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I have become the master with Andrew Rohde." Topping you there in that Indiana Wesleyan game. Obviously, Coach Rohde had a great squad there in Marion this year.
Wow, I can't believe you just put it that way. I sure hope Andrew's not listening. Andrew's a wonderful man, and I'm really proud of him as a coach and who he is as a man. And we need to play better. I mean, their team played better than ours. You know, we lost the to lose the turnover battle to a team of Indiana Wesleyan's quality 4-0. So we were -4 in turnovers, and then have it come down to a field goal at the end of the game. You know, from that standpoint, I was proud of the way our guys kind of fought back and, you know, kind of, you know, played hard at the end and played to win. We just, you just can't do those things and expect to win.
But let's take a look at your team coming back. You've got a three-headed monster at quarterback coming back with Cash Parker, Lennox Brown, and Zach Chevalier combining for 2,600 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, 14 picks, 63% completion percentage, and Lennox just is your leading rusher and bulldozer there. 1,037 yards, 12 touchdowns on the ground for him. Obviously, you've got Ryan Cole coming back, who almost had 500 yards rushing. You've got Zach Norton coming back, who is almost a 1,000-yard receiver. I mean, the numbers on offense, efficiency-wise, on your SP Plus might not have been historically what you would have expected, but you've still got a lot coming back and a lot to play with, as long as you can figure out who your signal caller is going to be.
Yeah, and that falls on me. That's 100% on me. And we just never settled on a quarterback. And I mean, that's one thing, you know, I've had that conversation with those three guys. That's one thing we're going to do is we're going to go with somebody this year. And we're going to make that decision and we're going to go with it. But I like the two young guys in Zach and Cash. I think they both throw really good balls and have a really good skill set. Without question, you know, Lennox is, in just a really basic sense, you know, he's just our best player, you know, and he there's just so many things he can do. So I specifically am going to have to figure that out as a team. We're going to have to move in one direction.
On defense, you've got a lot coming back too. You've got basically all of your defensive line coming back. Unfortunately, none of them get all conference first or second team nods, but you do have Isaac Pingle coming back, who had 113 tackles, Malik Hampton and Dejon Walls coming back in your defensive secondary, who were first and second teamers respectively. You do lose Lonnell Boyd, you do lose Jamal Jones, but you know, you can find some more DBs. There's a lot of them out there. You just gotta plug and play, right, Coach?
Right. Is that right, Corey? They're just walking around the streets of Sioux City, those DBs. I just got to grab a few of them. I think there's a few DeGene boys that aren't too far away. Maybe one of them will transfer in. those are two big losses. Lonnie was an outstanding safety, and we're going to miss him, as is Jamal Jones. We got Logan Maycumber. He was our third corner, and he'll be back. And, you know, in 21, I mean, those were the guys that, you know, we won with, you know, as Jamal was out with a knee injury. And so, I feel good about what we have. I really do like, you know, those other guys that you talked about. It was a really young D line last year, and having those guys back, you know, they need to have a great offseason. They need to get bigger and stronger and faster, but there definitely is a real upside with what we have on defense.
Coach, we're coming kind of to the end of, you know, the COVID era, so to speak. All of our guys who got an extra year are matriculating through, and, you know, Miami might, you know, be holding on to a ninth-year senior still somehow. They let him play. I've never figured that one out.
Who's that?
Miami has a ninth-year tight end.
Oh, wow.
I know. Apparently, he gets hurt a lot. That's the only thing that I can figure. But, you know, plus got the COVID year. So we're coming to the end of that, and unless someone's got a ninth-year senior banging around somewhere, I think we're probably at the end of it in the NAIA. But one of the things that it has done is served to establish depth throughout whoever could handle the additional Scholies has been able to do it. Looking back from kind of over this five-year period, how have y'all been able to do that, and what have you seen across the nation about the development of the game across the NAIA?
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of just the game of football and what COVID did, I think if you were having success, kids wanted to keep playing. And if you weren't, it wasn't, you know, necessarily going to happen. So I think we benefited from it, you know, early on, you know, in 21 and 20, you know, kind of right there in 22, in that, you know, we were really top heavy. And I think right now we're experiencing maybe the backside of it, and we'll see. We're each of our last 2 years in 22 and now this past year in 23, each year we graduated over 30 seniors. And so that's a big loss. And my guess is there's a lot of teams, you know, that are kind of experiencing that. So the full effect, I don't fully know, but you do have a backlog of guys that, you know, that just stay longer. And the reality is I just don't think sometimes we see the full picture. But when you give a guy an extra year, you know, there's still only 11 starters on offense, 11 on defense. And when you keep giving guys extra years, there's younger guys that don't get their year. They don't get their opportunity and maybe give up on football a little sooner or don't stick around. So I don't know in the end how it's all going to work, but I think this coming year is really going to be that first time we just kind of see a balancing out of things in terms of what happens going forward.
The other option for those players that are stuck behind that backlog, now obviously the NCAA has it, NAIA doesn't, but it's still an outsized influence into college football is the transfer portal, you know, wah, 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 portal thing. How is that affected on a larger scale, the NAI, even not having their own portal?
Right. So I think one thing with COVID and the portal and all that is we've had three players here in the last few years that have, you know, grad transferred and have gone on to become, you know, Division I playoff championship starters, you know, that they've been able to do that at that level. And I think that goes to just continuing playing. And obviously we're really happy for them because we just didn't have the grad program for them. So if a young man played his cards right, he's used these last few years to get his grad school paid for and to enhance his education, which is probably the wise thing to do. If you're entering the transfer portal, the ugly truth is that I'd say that if you transfer because you're unhappy, you're probably not going to graduate. And so that transfer portal is going to have a real effect on things. And I just think it's slowly moving down to our level. Right now, we really haven't seen an effect from it. I think our guys are happy with Morningside and are staying at Morningside, but it's definitely going to work its way down. I don't know how it works for teams in terms of getting guys. In other words, people don't enter the transfer portal to transfer down. You know, you never had to enter. You never had a problem with transferring down and before the transfer portal. In other words, if a young man played at, let's say, Division I, you know, Iowa State, and he wanted to transfer down to NAI, he always could have done that. He was always permitted to do that. The transfer portal, kids enter the transfer portal because they think they can play at either a higher level or continue to play at Division I. So I don't know if it's necessarily helping the play on the lower levels.
Yeah, I mean, for every one Jared Verse from, you know, from Albany to Florida State that you get, there's 10 guys that go from, say, a Florida State down to, like we saw Rodney Hill go to FAMU. You know, and drop a level. And you see a lot of that as I think, I don't want to say coaches are taking advantage of it in order to process players.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's being used as a tool for both ends from coaches to help churn their roster. I mean, you know, you're going to get these guys, and I am a little bit of these old guys and going, well, when I was a youngin, a scholarship was a four-year commitment. And that runs both ways.
Right.
So
I don't per se see it as a commitment level. I kind of see it. I think these conversations are lost. I think these are things that if people are paying attention have kind of been lost in inside the world. You know, the chances of a guy that plays Division III, Division II, NAIA, of making it in the NFL are slim to none. So you're playing at that level because you love football and you have an opportunity to play football and get a degree. And this transferring to just play football or this hopes of getting to a next level, you know, it really affects your ability to get a degree. And it really affects the long-term, good of the young man. You know, there's value to working through not playing. There's value through working through difficulty. There's value in saying, hey, I'm going to be a political science major and I'm going to stick it out at this school for 4 years and I'm going to get a good degree. And in the process, I'm going to get to know the faculty. They're going to give me, opportunity at good internships. They're going to give me opportunities at, good jobs as I come out. But odds are, statistics say you transfer once, you've got less than 50 chance of graduating. You transfer twice, you probably aren't going to graduate. Well, okay, us encouraging kids to do that means we are encouraging them to not graduate. And I'm just giving another side of things. I'm just giving another side. So I think you just have all that aspect. And I think one of the things that just kind of show the ugliness of it, 10 years ago, we would be talking about graduation rates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the graduation rate at X or Y school? We don't talk graduation rate anymore. And that probably tells you that people just don't seem to care.
Yeah, I mean, that's a point. I mean, you've got, yeah, we are starting to see the ugly underside of it as we get deeper into it, and it's just becoming more and more prevalent, and we're losing a little bit of that innocence of collegiate football as a purely, and it probably never was, but the way that we viewed it was as an innocent sport, a sport that is able to stay away from the NFL's money grabbing, but with NIL and the transfer portal, we do see that a little bit. And yes, is NIL, should we have been able to do that long ago? Yes, because then we would have had better sense with it than we would have been able to do now. But on the whole, I tell you this, I would rather watch NAIA football as football in a pure form, then I would rather watch even a national championship of FBS football, because it's just a different it's a different sport, and it's got kind of that stain of money on it.
Yeah. Now, if Morningside wants to pay me more, we're both in agreeance. We're going to let them do that.
Absolutely. But,
hey, I played small college football. And so, one of the reasons I love it is, I look back, here I am as old as I am. I mean, I just made amazing friends playing college football and sticking it out for 4 years. I'm blessed to have played for J.R. Bishop and, what he taught me and that relationship. And I was by no means, a star, nor was I, always a starter. I spent my time on scout team and still love my teammates, And when you transfer and you move around, you just miss out on some of that. And that's just, you're trading one thing to live for another, and you just kind of gotta figure it all out. And I think by and large on the NAIA level, the NIL, the name, image, likeness, and the transfer portal have had very minimal effect. And I hope, I just hope the NAIA continues to be an outstanding place where great football is played, young men can have phenomenal experiences, and many times what are good, you know, value Christian-based universities.
Well, Coach, going into that, we all know that if you're not constantly trying to move forward and to get better and to better yourself in you know, any area of your life, whether it be as a football team, as a coach, in just your personal your professional life, your Christian walk, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward.
Right.
So what area of your program, whether it be something on the field, whether it be something off the field, are y'all really looking to focus on and improve upon in 2024?
Yeah, so I think there's a number of things, and I'm gonna you know, just get out of the whole winning aspect, and that's not a, you know, part of things. So I think we just came off of a great run of just some dynamic, you know, leaders and football players. Whether did you just leave me?
Nope, I'm still here. My camera went off. I was debating whether to reset it.
You know what? You're not that good looking a guy. Just leave it the way it is, Corey. We'll get by.
Wow.
Oh. All right. I
see how it is.
It's great having you on the screen. So, so you know, we do a lot of off the field things. You know, we talk a lot about manhood. And so, you know, this spring we're going to Uganda with 15 players, and we're going down to Rolling Forks working on that hurricane. So every time we get a change over in leadership, just in terms of what we talk about, in terms of making a difference with your lives and how we reach out inside of some of our service projects, it's a different groups of guys. So, you know, we just got a different group of leaders that kind of have us working maybe with some slightly different organizations. And that's, you know, refreshing for me. It's exciting for me. And just doing that. And then just spending time just talking about, you know, some of our core values of, you know, faith and family and attitude. You know, sometimes when you slip a little bit, you just have to look back at, hey, what are we really about? You know, are we getting these things done? So I think it's been good for me in terms of the off season in terms of those things.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to, I mean, the GPAC as a whole, seeing what Morningside has to offer in 2024. We know that it's going to be a fun year. The GPAC is getting better and better as a conference, it seems like, where there's more parity between top and bottom, and that's always fun. But we are definitely looking forward to seeing what comes out of the Great Plains this year.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I'm with you. I think the GPAC conference is just getting better and better. There's a number of teams I thought playing last year took significant jumps. I always feel having a good quarterback makes a difference in small college, and I just think there's a number of them in our conference right now.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.